confrontation with this flotilla.
Fox Radio's Nina Donaghy in Jerusalem. Demand for imports on the rise in the U.S., especially foreign-made cars, computers, and clothing. The U.S. trade deficit widening in May to the highest level in 18 months. That in some upbeat earnings reports, fueling optimism about recovery. The Dow up 168 points. Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, almost. I'm Gary Miller, in for Pastor Kevin Bowling, who is away from the studio today. And we've got a very special program today. We'll be discussing AIDS, orphans, and the church. And we'll have some special guests that you'll get to hear talking about several different aspects of that. So this ought to be a very informative hour. You'll have an opportunity to call in. If you have a question or comment, you can certainly do that. But let's get started with our program by starting with our special guest host today, the director of Together for Adoption. Here's Dan Kruver.
As Gary just mentioned, today's topic is AIDS, orphans, and the church. And as all of you are aware, HIV/AIDS has been in public consciousness for a few decades now. And recently, over the last 5 to 7 years, there has been an increased awareness of the global orphan crisis. And you also know that the church has been known historically for caring for the sick and the vulnerable. So hence you have the title of today's program, AIDS, Orphans, and the Church. And we really have two big questions to ask and answer today. And the first is, what is the relationship between AIDS and the global orphan crisis? And I think you may be surprised by at least part of that answer as we look at the relationship between AIDS and the global orphan crisis from an angle you may not have considered before. And then our second big question is, what can the church do relative to these two problems? If indeed the church has been known historically for caring for the sick and the vulnerable and has led the way in doing so, what can the church do right now in addressing these two problems? What can today's church do? And this is Dan Kruver, director of Together for Adoption, sitting in for Kevin Bowling. And let me just, before we get too far along in the program, say how grateful I am for Kevin Bowling's advocacy for orphans. I've been on the show 6 or 7 times, and he has always dedicated the entirety of those shows to some aspect of orphan care or adoption. And we're grateful for his voice and for his willingness today to allow me to guest host on his program. And Together for Adoption provides gospel-centered resources to mobilize the church for the global orphan crisis. And one of the ways we do that is by hosting a national conference every year. And this year it will be in Austin, Texas, October 1st and 2nd. And you can find information about that conference on togetherforadoption.org, togetherforadoption.org. And our three guests today happen to be speaking at our national conference this year in Austin. Let me introduce them, tell you a little bit about them before we go to the break. The first is Dr. Susan Hillis. Dr. Susan Hillis. She's the wife of Brian, the mother of 10, 8 of those children adopted from Russia. She is actively involved in orphan care church ministries, and professionally, Susan is a senior HIV/AIDS research scientist at the Center of Disease Control in Atlanta. So she will bring in both her personal experience in orphan care and adoption, as well as her professional experience working at the Center for Disease Control. Our second guest will be Dr. Karen Purvis, and she is the director of Texas Christian University Institute of Child Development, and she has devoted the past decade to developing research-based interventions for adopted, foster, and other at-risk children, and her work is so very necessary given the global orphan crisis, the need for adoption, and the need to equip families to adopt and care for children. So in 2007, she co-authored a book entitled The Connected Child, Bringing Hope and Healing to Your Adoptive Family. And she also recently authored a book with Michael and Amy Monroe, Created to Connect, A Christian's Guide to the Connected Child. And Dr. Purvis holds both master's and doctorate degrees in developmental psychology from Texas Christian University and is a former foster parent and a mother of three boys and a grandmother of eight. And Dr. Purvis will be our second guest. And then our third guest is Elizabeth Stiefy, who is the director of both the Orphan Care Initiative and HIV/AIDS Initiative at Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California. And she leads efforts both locally and globally to mobilize the church to care for orphans around the world. And I've had the privilege of getting to know Elizabeth over the past couple years and so very appreciative of her leading the way in this critical area. She's also the director of the Rwanda Orphan Care Initiative, which is a strategic peace plan partnership between the government of Rwanda, the local churches of Rwanda, and Saddleback Church to initiate and support, and I love this, to initiate and support indigenous church-initiated interventions, which are family-centered, sustainable, and reproducible. And we'll have the opportunity to talk a little bit with Elizabeth about what's going on here in Rwanda. Each of these ladies will be speaking at our upcoming conference in Together for Adoption National Conference in Austin, Texas, October 1st and 2nd, and we would love for you to join us if you're able. We're anticipating over 1,000 people joining us as we consider the gospel, the church, and the global orphan crisis. That's our conference theme, the gospel, the church, and the global orphan crisis. And we've been able to bring quite a few experts together who will address both pastors, theologians, and those involved professionally in this area of church-centered orphan care ministry.
If somebody wants to go to that, Dan, where can they get information about that?
If they just go to our website, www.togetherforadoption.org. That's one word, togetherforadoption.org. We have all the information there, speaker bios, conference schedule, registration, information, everything they need to know.
Very good. And we just have like a minute before the break, but I thought real quickly for those that are wondering, they've heard you mention the global orphan crisis. Can you kind of boil that down into 60 seconds or give us an idea, a picture of what we're talking about?
Dr. Susan Hillis will address this, and it's quite remarkable. I think the number is up to 163 million orphaned and vulnerable children. These are children who have lost one or both of their parents. And then you factor in there to the AIDS crisis and how that is not only affecting the global orphan crisis of 163 million children, but also how the orphan crisis is affecting the HIV/AIDS crisis is really quite amazing and humbling.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead. We're going to head to our break right now because when we come back, we'll have our first guest. And, of course, our special guest host today is Dan Kruver with his organization Together for Adoption. And, again, that's where you can get information about this special conference as well that's coming up at the 1st of October. You'll get all the information on the website there. In the meantime, stick around. We've got more of Knowing the Truth coming your way while Pastor Kevin Bowling is away. A wonderful program on orphans and AIDS.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
When you read about Jesus' death on the cross, how does it make you feel? When you read the Gospels, do you find yourself hoping for Christ to escape? God assures us in His Word that the work of Jesus on the cross was planned long before it happened. Join us this week on God's Living Word as the Reverend Richard Phillips talks about God's long-anticipated plan for salvation.
Sunday morning at 9 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza. They'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
There's always a moment of truth where I say, look, it's either put up or shut up. And it was time to put up. I had crossed that thin line. It was 100 plus degrees. We were hot. We were on fire. We were yelling our hearts out. You could feel the intensity rising. Even in our tiredness, even in our weakness, even in our pain, we continued to push. I told myself, you can suck up the pain for another mile and a half, and you will be a Marine. Not many people believe that I could do it. I don't know where I got the energy from. I don't know where the pain went to. But all I know is that I had what it took. I am a United States Marine.
PFC Darrell Willis serves his country as a Marine. Will you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Pastor Kevin Bowling is away from the studio today. I'm Gary Miller, and it's great. We're having a wonderful program today talking about AIDS, orphans, and the church, and some things that you're going to learn. You're going to learn some tremendous things today that you probably did not know. Our special guest host today is Dan Kruver, director of Together for Adoption, and Dan will have special guests all day, so let's get started with one. Here's your host, Dan Kruver.
As I said earlier in the program, our first guest is Dr. Susan Hillis, and she is the mother of 10, eight of those adopted from Russia. And she is actively involved in orphan care church ministries and professionally is a senior HIV/AIDS research scientist at the Center of Disease Control in Atlanta. I had the opportunity to meet with Susan for about an hour and a half yesterday and discuss this very issue. So I'm so glad to have Dr. Susan Hillis on the air with us today. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, I know you have a lot of experience personally, having adopted eight children from Russia, and then you've worked for the past 20 years at the CDC. And there are really two critically important questions that I think we've got to be asking and answering. And the first one is typically what people ask. And then the second is one that you have been asking and answering that I think really sheds some helpful, important light on the relationship between HIV/AIDS and the global orphan crisis. The first question that people typically ask, and I'll have you address that first, is what impact is HIV/AIDS having upon the global orphan crisis? But the more important question, I think, that you ask is what impact is the global orphan crisis or the orphan population having upon the HIV/AIDS crisis? So it basically flips that question around a little bit. Can you address briefly those two questions?
I'd be happy to, Dan. Well, most of you are probably aware that the global orphan, the global HIV count increases every year. We currently, for 2010, have an estimated 33 million cases of HIV globally. Of those 33 million cases, approximately 25 million children around the world will become or be orphaned by the end of this year because one or both of their parents have died due to HIV/AIDS. What few people realize is that the actual number of HIV cases seems rather small when you compare it to the number of orphans in the world. There are actually 163 million orphans in the world. And the question that I have been asking, in part, I think, because of my husband and I having adopted so many kids, we have always wondered what would have happened to them if they had not been in our family. And one of the questions that I begin to think about a lot is, given that there's 163 million orphans in the world, and half of those are actually in the adolescent age group, 12 to 17, what is the risk that they will become HIV infected during these adolescent years? So we have been able to conduct a number of studies in Russia and Ukraine, and there have been other authors or researchers that have conducted studies in Zimbabwe. And what we have found is that the range of estimates for HIV risk among your orphan population is roughly 20 to 60%. So practically, let's talk a little bit about what this means. Let's just do the math. Right now, today, 33 million HIV cases. Right now, today, 163 million orphans. If 20% of them, which is the low end of the range, become HIV infected, what does this mean? It means we're going to double the global HIV count with the orphan population. So it is a shocking and urgent tragedy and a compelling emergency. And I personally, as a believer, see that it's really up to the church to provide the passport out for the orphan population.
Yeah, I love how you put that, the passport out. Can you explain a little bit what you mean by the church providing the passport out for these orphans?
I would love to talk about that. There actually is an invisible orphan nation. If you think of this number, 163 million kids around the world who have one or both parents dead, there are only six countries in the world of the roughly 200 that have populations in excess of that number. So literally there is an invisible but very real orphan nation. And I really see, and a number of us see, the church as the passport out. So what I mean by that is certainly everyone is not called to adopt. And I think few people are called to adopt eight kids like my husband and I have been called to do. But the church can do so much. There's an acronym I like to think of, PAVES, P-A-V-E-S. It's the church that paves the way out of this orphan nation. P for pray, A for adopt/foster. V for visiting, E for encouraging, S for supporting. But what I'd like to say a little bit more, I'd like to say a little bit more about several of those, especially the visiting one. It's fascinating that in James 1:27 in the New American Standard Version, we read, this is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God our Father to visit widows and orphans and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And visiting, it was always kind of surprising to me, that little word visiting, because it seems like such a small contribution to a lifelong heartbreaking problem. But who do we visit? We visit people that we care about, people that we love, people that we're close to. And I have personally seen kids whose lives have been changed by something as small as one visit. Is lifelong relationship better? Absolutely. And if I didn't believe in it, we wouldn't have so many kids. But there have been several very poignant examples that I have personally seen of a one-time visit being used by God to totally change a child's life. And this E for encouraging, I want to say a little bit more about that one as well. We actually have visited orphanages in a number of countries, and what I would say I find is, even though an orphanage is not the solution, families are the solution, the workers in those orphanages are largely underpaid and burned out. And I long for the church to provide more encouragement both to families called to adopt and foster. I am sorry, I have a cell phone. I never got it wrong. But the church really needs to, I feel like, could do so much more to provide support to those who are, encouragement and support to those who are fostering, adopted, and to people who are themselves, kids who are them, you know, p- people who are themselves adopting.
Yeah, and that's what's so exciting. And we talked about this yesterday, about what we see God doing to not only just create awareness within the church of the global orphan situation, but also raising up people to address that very thing. So it's really great to see God do this before our very eyes in our time. So you mentioned the importance of placing children in families, and I know you've worked with a couple of different leading researchers who have actually done some work on looking at the benefit of placing children in families as compared with placing them in institutions, orphanages, which is unfortunately typically the way the church, and not just the church, has responded to the orphan crisis, is to build orphanages. Why is placing orphans in families so important as compared with placing them in institutions?
Thanks for that question, Dan. I would love to answer it. There is actually strong research to demonstrate that families are superior to orphanages because of the child. It is preferential for the child emotionally, cognitively, physiologically, and it is even preferential financially. And from a Christian point of view, I would start out by saying spiritually, we know Psalm 68, verses 5 and 6 say, God is a father to the fatherless. He takes the lonely and places them, not in institutions, but in families. And just even ourselves knowing God as our Heavenly Father and Jesus as His Son, even in the Trinity, we have modeled this family relationship. So certainly from a Christian point of view, it's clear that families are what orphans and children need. Emotionally, there has been research to demonstrate that if children are removed from institutions before age 2 and placed in families, their abilities to attach are dramatically increased and improved over their entire lifespan. And children, by contrast, who do spend their lives in orphanages with a large number of caretakers, those caretakers changing from year to year, just do not attach emotionally to people the way God made us to attach to people. So they typically have long-term negative emotional consequences. Cognitively, it's fascinating. There has been an analysis, it's called a meta-analysis. Basically, it's a combined analysis of 75 studies, including 3,800 children in 19 countries, so huge, that shows that children raised in institutions and orphanages, their maximum IQ they attain is an average of 20 points lower than those raised in families, which is huge from an IQ point of view. Physiologically, there is also rather shocking and sobering evidence that if you actually compare a CAT scan of the brain in children who have been raised long-term in institutions with children who have been raised in families, there are several areas of several of the lobes of the brain that are actually missing in those children who have been raised their entire life in orphanages. And finally, just from a financial point of view, supporting children in orphanages costs between 4 to 10 times as much as it would cost to support children, for example, in foster families or in some kind of alternative family care. So those are all the positive benefits of being in families. I would also say a little bit about some countries actually have data on the adverse consequences of being raised in institutions. Russia, where our children are from, is one of them. And data published by the Prosecutor General out of Moscow demonstrates that what happens to kids when they leave orphanages and are released or graduated out of orphanages at about the ages of 16 to 18 is that 1 out of 3 become homeless, 1 out of 5 become criminals, and 1 out of 10 commit suicide. So the evidence is clear that families are preferential to institutions. What also I think is really important to say is that many of us with children who have lived in orphanages for a number of years really need the support of the church community and the faith community to help our families adjust and adapt positively in the middle of many competing demands.
Yeah, could you? We have about 30 seconds. If you could kind of close out your time with us, and so, thank you so much for being with us, by talking about how maybe a pastor who's listening could shepherd and lead his people to address this very issue that you've talked about.
I would love to do that. I would say that I would start small if your church is not doing anything yet. And one excellent way to start is with National Adoption Month that President Obama will himself again proclaim, you know, that we're starting to celebrate in November. There's Orphan Sunday, which is November 7th. And so one of the things that can be done is something as simple as beginning to highlight the importance of adoption in God's eyes, our adoption spiritually, and beginning to pray for specific children who need families. In the U.S. alone, there's 120,000 children waiting to be adopted. There's three times that many churches. So if one out of three churches would just adopt one, we would have no more waiting children in the United States. So I think a first place to start would be really highlighting Adoption Month, what it means for us spiritually, and also what it means for us practically, and really highlighting Orphan Sunday and beginning to pray and watch God move.
Amen. Amen. Something that every pastor can do, and lots of resources out there to help them do that. Thank you, Susan.
You are so welcome. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
God bless you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Dr. Susan Hillis, who has been with us from the Centers of Disease Control, and we've got another guest coming up here. Dan Kruver is your guest host today, so stick around. There's more to come on Knowing the Truth.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Everyone knows a family in crisis with a troubled teen. Licensed to Parent with Trace Embry, formerly Serving Hurting Families, is a radio ministry designed to help you navigate the tumultuous preteen and teen years. Join Trace, the director of Shepherd's Hill Farm, as he discusses the issues your family struggles with. Although Serving Hurting Families has a new name, Licensed to Parent with Trace Embry, our content remains the same, as does our broadcast times, Thursday at 12:30 p.m. and Saturday morning at 11 on Christian Talk 660.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's, near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza, and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Are you struggling to make mortgage payments on your property? Have you tried to refinance and got turned down? Is your balloon mortgage payment about to come due and you're afraid to lose your property? Do you think foreclosure is inevitable and there's no way around it? There is a better way. Residential or commercial loan modifications. Just call the Center for Sound Consumer Advice for your free guide. Thousands of businesses and homeowners were able to modify their commercial loans, so you can too. Now beware, not every company claiming to be able to modify loans is worth your trust or the Center's approval. Call the Center for Sound Consumer Advice at 1-888-808-5491 for your free consumer protection guide. Find out who you can trust with your commercial and residential loan modification. Call now 1-888-808-5491 and get a free consumer protection guide. Don't let the bank dictate what you do. Get your free guide for residential or commercial loan modification companies right now. Call 1-888-808-5491.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Pastor Kevin Bowling is away from the studio today, but that's okay. We've got a special program on AIDS, orphans, and the church. And we've got some special guests that we'll be talking to. In fact, I'm connecting with one of our guests right now. So while I'm doing that, I'll let you hear from our special guest host, the director of Together for Adoption. Here is Dan Kruver.
Yeah, I want to tell you a little bit more about our upcoming national conference in Austin, Texas. We have the conference theme is the gospel, the church, and the global orphan crisis. And we have a number of keynote speakers that will come in and address particular aspects of how the church can serve the orphan. Topics such as the church as the theater of transracial adoption, where we look at the fact that God has brought together into the family of Christ people from every nation, and then what are the implications of that for multi-ethnic or transracial adoption. And then we have other topics like the church as the champion of social justice, which will be done by Matt Carter. A really, really important topic. How can the church be engaged in social justice and do so in a way that honors the gospel and that is energized and moved forward by the gospel? One of the other topics we have is the church as the answer to the foster care challenge. Dr. Susan Hillis mentioned at the end of her of that segment, there are 123,000 children in foster care right now in the United States who are waiting to be placed into families. And so we're devoting an entire topic to a whole general session to addressing that very question. How can the church be an answer to the foster care challenge? And then the guest we're going to have on here in just a couple minutes, Dr. Karen Purvis, will be talking about counting the costs, preparing churches for the adoption journey, which is such a critical, critical issue that needs to be considered. And Dr. Purvis is the director of the Texas Christian University Institute of Child Development, and welcome to the show, Dr. Purvis.
Thank you so much. It's a joy to be with you.
Before we get started, and I ask you a few questions, I'd like for you to give a website where people can go to learn more of the resources that you provide, because I feel like this is such a needed and often neglected area, preparing families prior to adoption and also families after they have adopted. Where's the best resource?
Absolutely. Let me tell you two really great resources, Dan. One is www.child.tcu.edu. That's TCU for Texas Christian University, EDU for Educational System. So www.child.tcu.edu. And there's two other wonderful resources that I would love to mention, too.
Yes.
One is the Empowered to Connect website, and it's just www.empoweredtoconnect.org. Downloadable resources, many, many downloadable resources. And then also we're working with Saddleback and developing resources for families, so the Saddleback website. All three of those are just loaded with resources that are free downloadable for families.
Well, we're so grateful to have you on the program today, because we really want these resources to be made available to Christians all over the place. You talk a lot about the adoption of children from hard places or at-risk children. Can you explain a little bit about some of the differences between children adopted from a hard place versus those who are not?
Yes, I'd love to. A real core issue for us, Dan, is helping parents understand that if a child has actually become available to foster or adopt, they have experienced loss by the very nature of their availability to foster or adopt. Hmm. But there are actual physiological, neurochemical, and brain development changes that occur if a child has, for example, a stressful pregnancy or a difficult birth, or early time in the hospital, or abuse, neglect, or trauma. Those are the six major risk factors. And if a child experiences one or more of those, we call that child from the hard places. That predicts various levels of change in this child's later behaviors and emotions and learning and so forth. So many parents who adopt a child at birth will say, well, I don't understand how this could be from a hard place.
Hmm.
But there's a great deal of very respectable research about the brain development changes if a mother is just depressed or just stressed, while she's carrying that child. So beginning with conception all the way forward, a child who comes to us available to adopt or foster more than likely has come from what we call hard places.
And that's so, I mean, that's something that often is not talked about often enough.
Absolutely. And here's the thing for us in our work, and that is if I understand my child has experienced loss, if I understand that my child's brain was changed by the mother's stress or the starvation because this child came from a country where this mother didn't have enough food, or if I understand that these seemingly simple things have dramatic effect, then I can be successful in guiding my child to healing.
Hmm. Now, how many families do you have coming to you that are having these same these problems where they've adopted a child, they've embraced them, and yet there are difficulties that they didn't anticipate? I mean, how many families?
We see hundreds and hundreds and actual thousands over the decade that we've done this, where there are families who've got a child. They love the child, they're committed to the child, but they're not successful. They're not able to help the child heal, and they're frustrated. And the parenting for some of those families has become joyless. Matter of fact, one of the great concerns for me when I first talking to parents often is that I'll see a mother or a daddy who there's no twinkle left in their eyes. Their faces are flat. There's no sparkle in their step. Their voice doesn't dance when they talk. And these are parents who have given everything, and they would have given anything they had to help this child heal, but they can't seem to reach the child. That's our strength. That's our calling. That's our passion, is to help build bridges between children who don't know how to connect and parents who don't know how to connect so that there can be successful outcomes for families.
Hmm, that's great. Yeah, I was talking with Susan Hillis about how massive the global orphan crisis is, and it might be easy for someone to say, well, then everyone should adopt, but obviously that is not the case. God does not call most families to adopt. But how would a family, I mean, who's hearing this and saying, boy, I feel like that's a need I might be able to meet. How can a family, number one, discern whether or not God might be calling them to adopt? And then secondly, if they do discern that's what God wants them to do, how can they be prepared prior to the adoption?
Great questions. And really our hope and our prayer, Dan, is to get out ahead of the adoption. You know, it's an interesting thing. God designed a 9-month pregnancy, although for some of us it felt like 12, but, you know, God designed a period of preparation. And during that biological preparation for parenting, a woman's hormones go all kinds of pathways. And we might get hysterical. We might think about our parenting. We might have the terror that we will use a mother's voice that we were raised under. We do a lot of emotional processing and healing during our 9 months of preparation. And then God has designed our biology to prepare us to nurture our breasts. Prepare for milk. Our brains, become somatosensory development, so a mother is attuned to the voice of her baby, the whimper of her baby, the small sigh of her baby, because the regions for the senses, for perception of the senses, has become acutely active during the pregnancy. There's all this preparation. So one thing we try to help parents think about a biological model. What would God have done to prepare you to bring a child to your family? And see what ways we can implement that. But even before I get to that point, I'm wanting to say to a family who says, I believe that I am called to adopt. I believe that I am called to foster. I would say, here's some things I'd ask you to do. And matter of fact, on the websites that I gave you, there are 7 gifts and 7 insights that we would love for every parent. 7 insights before you adopt and 7 gifts that we would want to see every child and every family have. And one of those insights that we're going to have to think about as we prepare is, am I in God's timing? all of us are called to the ministry of the orphan. That's not up for grabs. That's a non-negotiable. We're all called to that ministry. But is my part, I loved Susan's, Dr. Hillis, acronym, what part of that orphan ministry are we called to? Mm. So there are as countless ways to serve these children and to adore these children and to bring God's love in honest, sincere, tangible ways to kiddos who are in hard places. But is that my calling to adopt, or is it one of these other thousands of ways? If it's my calling to adopt, is it God's timing for me to adopt? Or is there a preparation period such as I would have had biologically? For many families who are God-fearing families, they are wonderful hearted, they are fiercely protective, they are devoted to their children. They're not prepared for the child to enter their home, though. Maybe there's a loss they had that needs to be grieved. We have served many families through the years who have unwillingly, not purposely, brought home a child thinking that they were meeting the need of that child when really there was an ache in their own spirit. Mm. There was an ache in their own soul. And what we say is that biology would have given us months for healing and months for preparation and months for thinking about how I was parented and months for going through all the emotions. I remember being pregnant and thinking, oh, what would happen to my child if I died? I mean, there's this upheaval that is predicted by the rampant emotions. And so is there a process? Is there a journey? And I am so excited to report that there are resources for families. Saddleback and I are working right now on finishing a ministry outreach tool for churches. Empowered to Connect, Michael and Amy Monroe and I have been working on those resources, and they are downloadable and prepared. I believe that the church is the only place that our children are going to get the deep healing. But it's going to take families who understand their own journey, making sure I didn't adopt ahead of God's schedule. Maybe I need a 9 month of preparation. Maybe I need to grieve the child that died at birth. Maybe I need to grieve that little brother that I lost and I watched drown and couldn't help. Maybe I need to grieve and forgive myself for an abortion I had as a teenager before I even knew the Lord. But whatever it is, maybe I need to be aware of my parents' avoidant parenting strategies and how I'm going to be prone to do the same thing until first I own my history and then I release my parents with a sense of forgiveness and a sense of compassion.
And
so
this is
what is my journey.
This is why I'm so excited to have you and Michael and Amy Moreau leading sponsoring a track, a breakout session track at the Together for Adoption conference, where you'll be able to address these issues in depth with the families who.
Absolutely, yeah. Dan. Absolutely. I testified for some legislation as an expert witness that was invited to our Senate. And I testified about a year ago, and Texas senator who was leading the testimony kept stopping and saying, she just shake her head, and she said, you know, this job is too big for the government. The job of children who have been harmed, it's too big for the government. And three times I heard the senator say, we need the church.
Amen.
I was going like, yes.
Yeah, preach it, yeah. That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Karen, and I hope our listeners jump right to your websites and to get that information. So we're so grateful and for
Thank
your
you,
partners.
It was a joy to be with you.
You've been listening to a very special interview today, Dan Kruver, and his special guest on that particular segment, Dr. Karen Purvis from Texas Christian University. We have more to come, so stick around. There's more to come on Knowing the Truth. While Pastor Kevin Bowling is away, we'll continue this discussion about AIDS, orphans, and the church.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
How
is the influence of paganism affecting our culture and cultures around the world? On the next Janet Mefford Show, Dr. Peter Jones joins me to talk about it. And as more mainline denominations hire homosexual clergy, more parishioners are splitting off. But what is the revisionist theology that is driving this movement? I'll discuss it with Focus on the Family's Kermit Rainman. We'll also take your calls on all the issues of the day. Join us for the next Janet Mefford Show.
Weekday afternoons from 2 to 5 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
This is an important message for prescription drug users from the Coalition for U.S. Prescription Assistance. New state and federal programs are now available for people that are having trouble affording their monthly medications. If you or someone you know are having trouble affording the high cost of prescription medications, then stop what you're doing and get something to write with now. With the cost of monthly medications going up, no one should have to choose between putting food on the table or paying for their medications. Help is available. If your medication cost is over $100 a month, then you might qualify. Call this number to speak with a Coalition advocate. 888-570-3737. That's 888-570-3737 for monthly prescription assistance. This could be the most important call that you ever make, and advocates are standing by. The Coalition for U.S. Prescription Assistance is here to help you. One more time, call 888-570-3737 for prescription assistance today.
Excuse me, do you know how to get to Maine and Maple?
How's that cook?
How do you change the ringtone?
How much does this cost?
Does this bus stop at Elm Street?
We ask questions everywhere in life, except... Any questions?
No.
At the doctor's office, ask questions.
What is this test for?
Are there any side effects?
Questions lead to better health care. Go to ahrq.gov for a list of 10 questions everyone should know. Questions are the answer. Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Pastor is away from the studio today, as we mentioned, but we've had a great time, and let's get right back because, we have another special guest, and with us right now, first of all, is our guest host. Here's Dan Kruver.
As you heard Dr. Karen Purvis mention several times, she is partnering with Elizabeth Stiefy and Saddleback Church to produce some resources to equip families for the adoption process. And Elizabeth Stiefy is the director of both the Orphan Care Initiative and HIV/AIDS Initiative at Saddleback Church. And welcome to the program, Elizabeth. So glad you could be with us.
Thanks for having me. What a great program.
It has been fantastic. You know both Susan Hillis and Karen Purvis, and you share the same concerns and passion that they share as they look at the global orphan crisis, and how the church can be involved in that. How important is it to you, and should it be to the church, that the church actually take ownership and leadership in caring for the orphan?
It's really the biblical mandate. The greatest challenge, the greatest opportunity in the 21st century is the latent, pent-up, unmobilized believer in every single pew. Dale, I so appreciate you having me on because you have hit it entirely. If we can mobilize the church and the family, the orphan crisis in the world will be transformed.
I've heard you talk about, there's 163 million orphan and vulnerable children in the world, and yet, I think Rick Warren makes this point, the greatest distribution available in the world is the church. Put some numbers together that would help people see how the church actually has an amazing opportunity.
Sure. Well, as you said, most everyone that's listening to you today are our friends. Their hearts are open to God's heart for the orphan, and so they're ready to do something. And as you go to do something, most of us see the needs of children, we'll see it on TV, and we'll say, what can I do? And believe it or not, everywhere in the world, everywhere, there is a church. I've been in villages where there's no civil society, no school, no police department, but there's a church. And most of us just aren't aware of that. We'll think, oh, no, maybe it might be an underground church. But if there's 163 million orphans in the world, there are 2 billion people who call themselves Christians. And they call themselves followers of Jesus. If that's the truth, then churches with children. Most people, when they care about orphans, they might land in a country or even locally, they think, oh, man, what can I do? But if one family out of every four churches in the United States would consider adoption, we would have no more orphans of the 123,000 or so that are eligible for adoption here in our world. So there are churches everywhere. They may need to have some help, and you could come alongside and help them know what to do. But believers everywhere are called. And when I start doing for somebody else what they can do for themselves, I can remember personally being in a country where I was washing orphans, and it was so tender and sweet, and I was able to come home with a picture and a story. But I believe what I was doing was breaking the heart of God, because I walked past the believers in that other country. And I was doing for the children in their own country what they could do for themselves. If I could have just gone to the local church, created relationship. The church is everywhere. There are more churches than McDonald's, Walmart, Starbucks, every franchise combined. More people went to church last Sunday in the United States than every single sports event in our country in a year,
wow,
in a single day.
Wow.
And so the church is everywhere. We just need to come alongside and help them care for the orphan.
Now, Susan Hill has talked about the critical importance of placing children and families over placing them in institutional care. And I know you have a great perspective on how it is the church is the key to seeing this happen. How is the church? I mean, because historically, the U.S. church has gone over and built orphanages. But by doing so, they've kind of sidestepped the very nature of the church itself. So how do you see the church as the key to seeing this children, place, and families?
Well, it really comes back to even your heart, Dan, which I so appreciate. It is all about what would Jesus do? What is our biblical theology to what does he do for us as orphans? Does he place us in a temporary situation, in an institution? No, he places us in a family, the church, his own family. And it's not temporary, it's permanent, it's legal. It is what God does for the orphan is what he expects us to do for the orphan. So we really have been exporting for 100 years what we know now hurts children. But it goes back to the local church, because if I don't know the church, then I'm going to see children in need, and I'm going to think with my little white flag, I need to scoop them up and do something for them, even if it's the wrong thing. So we really are in an exciting time of reformation where we don't want to have a critical spirit, but we want to say to our brothers and sisters, what are you doing for the orphan? And with everything that I do, how can I work with the local church to help the local church get children into permanent, legal, safe, loving families? And if we don't know the local church, we won't be able to see who are the good families. And I have been to countries where you stand in a service on a Sunday morning, and someone will say, oh, our dear sister died this week. Who will take her children? And yet, if we don't work with the local church, we will think of things like orphanages because we don't know the families. So it's exactly as you suggested, Dan, that the local church is the solution. Families are the solution. And we could redesign everything we're doing in orphan care around those two words, church and family. Not family-like, not a group home, not a hired mom and dad, but doing for orphans what God has done for me. He adopted me.
I'd love for you to we have about a minute and a half left. I'd love for you to share a little bit about what Saddleback Church is doing in Rwanda, partnering with churches there to come alongside Rwandan churches and serving the orphan there. I think this would give people a great picture of what can be done and what their churches can do. We got 1 minute for you to give that huge answer.
Sure. Well, it can be very practical. Today, everyone who is listening can, first of all, start with the orphans in their own neighborhood and start saying, this is my responsibility. How do I get mobilizing the people in my church? And that's all we've done in Rwanda and literally 194 other countries where we've looked to the local church and said, the orphans, what do you want to do for the orphans? And, of course, churches a lot of times will say an orphanage because we taught them that answer. But coming alongside the local church, that pastors and a group of churches said, here's the families we know already have orphans in their home. And so we said, well, then how could we come alongside and create permanency? Do there need to be legal things done? Every believer could visit an orphanage with a church member and start with every single child in the orphanage and say, tell me your story. What is the next right thing for this orphan? And helping the local church figure out how can we make this orphanage a temporary situation. So, for example, we've totally redesigned sponsorship. So sponsorship isn't about giving money to a child. Sponsorship, first of all, doesn't happen until later in a relationship with the church. And we help families.
Thank you very much.
With Pastor Kevin Bowling, Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk.